also a little piece from yesterday about why, you know, we're not meditating on impermanence as the ultimate nature of phenomena. You know, why that isn't the thing that's going to bring us liberation. And that's, first of all, because impermanence isn't the ultimate nature of phenomena. It pertains only to conditioned things. But even with conditioned things, and the impermanence is much easier to realize. Even subtle impermanence, it's phenomena is changing moment by moment by moment. That's easier to realize than their lack of inherent existence. Okay, so the lack of inherent existence is really the deepest mode of being, whereas impermanence, while being, you know, applying to conditioned things and being how they exist, because they're produced by causes and conditions, is not their deepest mode of existence. Also, impermanence doesn't apply to permanent phenomena, and whereas emptiness does. So emptiness is talking about the ultimate nature of all phenomena, permanent and impermanent. Okay? And so you can see that emptiness as kind of the basic reality is much more pervasive and is much more profound. Okay?
An example of a permanent phenomena?
For example, permanent space. So permanent space is the lack of obstruction in a place. Okay? Or so cessation is a permanent phenomena. It's the lack of the afflictions or an affliction. Okay? When you get into the philosophy, you see that in fact there's probably more permanent phenomena than impermanent ones. But that's a whole other topic. We won't get into that today. Okay. So somebody's saying, when the wisdom realizing emptiness, and emptiness become non-dual, which is when there is a direct perception of emptiness, non-conceptual, are they permanent or impermanent? Well, emptiness as a negation is permanent. The wisdom realizing emptiness is impermanent. Okay? In the experience of that wisdom mind realizing emptiness, there's no thought of permanence, impermanence. There's no thought of anything. You know, they've become non-dual in the sense that there's no experience or feeling of subject and object. Okay. Which blows my mind to even think about. What would that be like to have an experience where you don't have this feeling of there's a mind perceiving an object, and especially there's me perceiving an object? You know, because you can see so much how our six senses and the perception through the six senses bring about this feeling of I or self, you know, because there's this contact with, you know, sights and sounds and smells and tastes and touches. You know, we're having these different cognitions. And so there's a feeling of, well, there's a cognizer. You know, if there's an object, there's a cognizer. And there is a cognizer. There's no problem with that. But then we think, this cognizer is me, this solid, self-existent, independent me that's sitting out there, you know, separate from the object that's getting cognized, and they just kind of bump together somehow. You know, this one's solid, and they bump together. Whereas, you know, when you really start thinking about dependent arising, you see that the whole process of cognition is dependent, and something becoming an object depends on something else being a subject, and vice versa. Okay, so somebody was saying, are they both the wisdom mind and the emptiness non-affirming negatives, or are they a positive phenomenon? Well, emptiness is a non-affirming negative, and the wisdom realizing is a positive phenomenon. Okay, but again, within that experience, there's none of that kind of perception or thinking or anything like that. You know, there's just the experience of emptiness. Okay, that's that for today. Well,
is all direct perception non-dual?
Is all direct perception non-dual? No. When you're seeing the blue of that bottle top lid, there's the blue and there's your mind, right? That's dual. Yeah. See, that's one another reason why emptiness is so special, is when you have the direct perception of it, there's no experience of a subject-object duality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It only happens with emptiness. Because emptiness is the only thing that exists the way it appears. Everything else exists falsely. It appears inherently existent. As soon as you have the appearance of inherent existence, you have the appearance of subject and object. Okay, because there's an inherently existent object and an inherently existent subject, you know. So that all those kinds of things go together.
Is it true that
Okay, the whole thing of valid cognition, that's a whole different discussion. Let's not get into that one today, okay? Write it down, I'll put it in the pile of ever-growing questions, and we'll talk about valid cognition.
Okay.